This is WUOT. I'm Chrissy Kuiper. Researchers with the University of Tennessee used widely available demographic and socioeconomic data to predict cases of COVID-19 in U.S. counties. We spoke with anthropology professor Alex Bentley about the research.
Back in March, April, you know, you had counties in the middle of the country reporting like zero cases, and we just knew that wasn't true. And so we wanted some way of kind of formalizing how far off are they. Our goal was largely to help governments prepare for the next pandemic in ways that they can use statistics to predict what's going on the next time this happens. And a lot of people have been researching in this way, but ours is a little different in that one of the things we recognized last March, when we were first getting into COVID, we had all this information from like New York, California, Washington on the coast. And the middle of the country just had no idea what to expect. And the other problem from the middle of the country was we had very spotty reporting. Some counties not even reporting at all yet. And so all we did was just develop a statistical method to use what we knew on the coast to help predict what would happen in the interior, to anticipate. The way we did that is to relate the numbers of confirmed cases and deaths in these places with lots of data, socio and demographic data or numbers that we can get from counties, from the census and from CDC, like everything from percent uninsured to the population density to education, jobs, ethnic breakdown, all this stuff. For us, it was all just data that we would train our statistics to predict and then use those statistics, you know, population densities and job categories and percent uninsured and all these other numbers that we knew from the census. That becomes the bridge to try to predict what's going to happen in the Midwest or in the middle of the country where we have the same data, but we don't know anything about the COVID. And so what we were able to do is identify counties that in April were really underestimating or underreporting the levels of COVID such that they were going to be in for potentially quite a surprise by July. So we call it kind of an early warning system or an early anticipation system that maybe someday could be used for the next pandemic or even the spread of flu or something where you get a lot of information from one place and then the places that are waiting for it to happen could use some better way of predicting what's going to happen.
Let me make sure that I understand. You used as much data, demographic and otherwise, that you could get your hands on from these places where there was data.
It's just like, you know, when you think about how do companies use your data to predict how you'll shop, they don't care about the causality. We don't mean that we weren't concerned, but there are a lot of people working on causality. And one of the things that happened was the factors that pulled out of the analysis that were most predictive of future COVID rates or helped to identify counties that were underreporting the most, they did turn out to be the major risk factors, a lot of them, you know, population density, for example, ethnic breakup, use of public transport, things like that. They did turn out to be predictive. So we were confident that the analysis was pulling out factors that were predictive. So now we can go to counties, and as long as we have these numbers for these counties, it can help us predict what will happen when eventually the wave comes to the middle of the country.
Did you have a chance to test this anywhere where there was not information?
We did. So we sort of trained our technique in April on the coast, and then we compared it to data later in July, and it was a good predictor of the counties that essentially had a lot more COVID deaths than you would have anticipated back in April. Now, this isn't like we were within 1% or something like that. It's more like the numbers are really like order of magnitude. So a certain county might have five times as many deaths as you would have thought they would have had in April, because the county next to them has, you know, imagine two counties that are very similar, but one is reporting their cases really quite thoroughly and another isn't. even though they're very similar in terms of COVID risk and breakdown of these categories, by the time you get to July, what's happening in the well-reported county is about in line with what epidemiologists might expect, but the under-reporting county might get a nasty surprise. We confirmed it in July, more or less on a basis of we identified the counties as the ones that were really the most underprepared in terms of their numbers estimates.
Was there anything that you found that was surprising?
Many studies have confirmed the unfortunate reality that percent African American population is correlated with higher rates of infections and deaths in counties. That also came out of our analysis as being very predictive. So that unfortunate reality was we found in our analysis as well. But one of the surprising things might have been that another one of the very strong predictive factors, besides population density and use of public transport, things, you know, that have to do with crowding, was actually that the voting patterns, the results of past elections in terms of the Republican versus Democratic share of the vote, was actually a strongly predictive factor. The percentage of a county that voted Democratic correlates actually with more COVID and more COVID deaths, even after we controlled for other things. And we weren't sure why that was. I'm not sure I want to try to explain. Again, we were just looking for predictive factors, not trying to explain the causality.
Right.
Democratic counties tend to be higher population density, but we had already controlled for that. So we don't actually know the answer. So that was surprising, but it's very predictive. So what you wind up with the analysis is you get a list of the most predictive factors, not all the causes. We know there's lots of comorbidity causes and risk factors, but what it's trying to do is reduce the list down to the most predictive factors out of the 30 odd that we looked at. And that turned out to make the list of the top five.
So what were the other top five?
Population size, obviously, in the county. Population density. The percentage of people that use public transport in their daily lives. Percentage African American of the county's population. And then this number that we allocated to how the county voted in the most recent election, in the presidential election, which was basically the difference between percent Democrat and percent Republican. Again, I just want to stress, those are not the only five causes. It's just that those five factors do a lot of the heavy lifting if you're just trying to predict rates of COVID, the rates of deaths in different counties. And so when you know those numbers for counties in the interior and lots of other numbers besides that you can get, you can use those to try to predict not just what the COVID rate might be, given what's going on the coast, but they were also, what we were also trying to predict, again, that's kind of less intuitive, is the rate to which the county tends to underreport how many cases they have. Because that's what we were looking for. We were looking for counties to identify counties that are actually going to be potentially unprepared because the reported numbers are too low.
All of these data are available to whomever would like to look into them.
Two places, the CDC and the US Census, and it's all free. And that's why we want to try to develop this, because you could use it to predict anything you like. We happen to be predicting COVID rates, but we could apply this to the next flu, or maybe even, you know, some other kinds of communicable conditions.
Right. The spread of any infectious disease, basically.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about, you know, some of these counties in the interior. Did you check back to see whether their reporting had improved?
The reporting in all the counties got better as the pandemic played out. We also, there are some outliers that we had to adjust for. You know, you get a county with a prison population, for example, and the, you know, the numbers are very, very high. Some extreme outliers in county numbers in different states. The reason why there's so much underreporting early on is because you just have very few counts early on. And you also, if you remember back a year ago, we didn't have the kind of testing capacity that we have now. And it was really heterogeneous, you know, much better testing capacities in certain states than others.
As far as the demographic data concerning African American communities is concerned, that was strictly down the line for African American communities. You didn't find the same thing in Latinx communities. You didn't.
Not in terms of, you know, the standard definitions that are used by the census of different ethnic groups. It was very markedly the African American percentage that was the most predictive, and the other categories much less so.
Did you get into any causality at all in looking at that?
We did. We relied on the literature for that. Different risk factors that have to do with where you work and what sector you work, the availability of healthcare, the percent insured, all those kinds of things. But we did leave the true causality to the published literature on that. We took the result and said, yep, this is actually consistent with the stuff that we're reading from people working on the ground with the real causality.
It's clear that there is a method. You have a method of prediction based on data that are available. How do you get that information to the people who would actually be doing those predictions?
So what would be nice is to build a sort of widget that takes all the available data that you have for your county. And we just scratch the surface, I think, because we just use stuff that you can get from CDC and the census, you know, just click through a few links. You have the same data for all 3,000 plus counties in the country. So it's all comparable. And so there should be a way, once you develop the algorithm, then county officials could use this to do their own predictions given their own data. The only caveat I want to give is that every pandemic is going to be different. So you have to train your algorithm on the new answer, so to speak. So the COVID numbers are the answer, and the county level data are what you use to help predict your answer. But the next thing is going to be different. So you need that early, the early days, you train your algorithm on the next event, and then you can use the training that you do in the high data parts of the country to help predict what may be coming for the low data parts of the country. It'd be pretty hard to use what we did specifically for COVID to predict exactly what would happen with the next event, because it could play out quite differently. So you do have to have that little training period, but the mechanics of how we did it are laid out in this paper. And so it should be much easier next time.
Do you plan to do more with this? I mean, is there a plan to develop the widget and to the algorithm?
The county level data are an absolute gold mine. We think in terms of 30 or more different variables, different numbers that all counties report, and there's even more, there's always more. Using those variables to try to predict something else about what is happening at the county level in the United States. I mean, in theory, you could even try to predict, you know, other kinds of changes, like maybe the movements of people between counties, migration to different parts of the country over the next 10 years. It's a philosophy of using these kinds of data sets to predict something else, as long as you've got a starter data set where you have the answer and you can train your method on that answer and then use it for the parts of the country where you don't know the answer. Once we started doing this, we thought, yes, we could really try to streamline it so it's faster to use and that it's more accessible to the county administrative level.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you or that we haven't talked about that you feel like needs to be mentioned?
I just hope it made sense, because it's a little different than the usual, like this causes that kind of thing.
Actually, you know? I think it does. And I think it's also kind of a relief, because we've spent the last year, of course, talking about causality. And it's interesting to hear this study that is actually, you know, you use just raw data and you can
just use data to predict other data. That's just it. Yeah.